Hello and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Elaine Jontek. We know that animals in general, especially dogs, are beneficial for the mental and physical well-being of humans. The topic of animals in our lives and the study of human-animal interactions was the focus of a special conference at the University of Sydney run by ISAS, the International Society for Anthrozoology. This field of study examines the positive effects of human-animal relationships. I went along to one of the free public lectures given by Professor Sandra Barker and heard about the wonderful work of dogs helping people in families, hospitals, colleges and at work. Our focus today is going to be on dogs and their contribution to helping people with disabilities, assisting young offenders get their lives back on track, and we'll look briefly at the promising work they do in Professor Barker's US hospital in Richmond, Virginia, helping patients recover by making them more happy and relaxed. This medical school has its own Centre for Human-Animal Interaction. Its Dogs on Call program complements traditional therapy to enhance the well-being of patients, staff and students. It also takes part in special university events such as Pause for Stress for students during their exams. But first I'll talk to an extraordinary woman, Maggie, who trained as a nurse, and when she and her husband, David, a country GP, could not keep their autistic son, Daniel, in a mainstream classroom, they started their own school and later a shop where Year 11 students groom and train the dogs of the local community. Today we have Maggie Fanning with us. Maggie is the founder and principal of EdSpace, an education and training centre at Benalla in Victoria. Maggie, can you tell us what EdSpace is and why the name EdSpace?
Well, EdSpace is, we're a registered independent special school in Benalla, which is a rural community around 10 to 14,000 people. And we cater for students from 11 to 18 years of age who have been in a mainstream setting but haven't achieved any success due to a medical or a developmental disorder. So we provide an alternative place for them to hopefully succeed in their education.
Can you tell us about the importance of therapy dogs in your program?
Well, therapy dogs have been part of our school for about 5 years now. They're very important because I think animals in general are really beneficial for human beings. I think that's fairly widely accepted. And it's also people's perception of a person with a dog. It seems to open up an avenue for a social interaction that may not otherwise happen.
So some of these children are a bit socially distant, are they?
They are. The majority of our students are on the autism spectrum disorder, and that in itself, part of the major issues that the students have is in their communication and social understandings. Animals can really bridge a gap there with the kids who have difficulty with that, and it also helps other people communicating with them.
Well, it gives you something to talk about when somebody's got a dog with them, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah, it does. And has a dog and you come across someone else with a dog, then there is an instant rapport.
What can children learn from dogs, do you think?
Well, lots of things. They can learn appropriate interaction with another living being, how to be friendly, how a dog responds to your different interactions, and so they can sometimes see the consequence of their actions. If a child's having a meltdown, you know, the dog will immediately act in a certain way especially a dog that's perhaps not trained as a therapy dog, they will tend to get alert and think there's a loud noise and they get a little bit on edge. So the child actually sees a consequence for what they're doing, and they don't always have the insight for that. So animals can help in that way. They can sort of mirror, I guess, a response. With therapy dogs, where they're so useful is if a child's having a meltdown, that dog is trained to not react in a negative way to that, but to come over and sometimes be a calming influence. There's a couple of different ways, and you can actually teach the kids with dogs about those different responses. So we've had, you know, numerous occasions where we've seen dogs enable someone to reduce their anxiety in a whole number of ways.
So how did your school come to exist? I understand there's a personal story with your son, Daniel.
Daniel has cerebral palsy and autism and a severe anxiety disorder that kind of goes a little bit hand in hand. We started the school for Daniel and for a cohort of students around his age at the time. So there was quite a few of parents that had a common need. David and I were in the health sector, so he was always coming across kids who had these sorts of disorders and were just having an awful time in mainstream settings. Then we set up a small school, which is still going. So Daniel and his friends, there was about 11 kids to begin with. We've grown now to most of our enrolment, sort of 20, 25 kids. That's how we started. Yes, it was a very personal reason for us to do this, and for the other people in our community, it has been terrific to be able to link the needs of our kids in health and education. And that's the most valuable thing that's come out of this, is that my husband's a GP. He still sees students that started, you know, 10 years ago. They still connect with a local health practitioner, and that's something that will stick with them for life, because they know where to actually go to get help. And I think that's something that they learn here as well. So Shadow came into the picture about 5 years ago. We were very keen on Daniel having a service dog to help him with his social anxieties. So I just came across a flyer one day that was sent to the school, and it was for Ureve, the Centre for Service and Therapy Dogs Australia. So this is a new company that had just come to Melbourne. Ureve is initially from Israel and had was very well known over there for his work with dogs. And he trained the first Alzheimer's dog and had a really good reputation. So,
first Alzheimer's dog? What's an Alzheimer's dog?
So he trains dogs to work with clients with Alzheimer's disease. So he was the first one to have success in that area, and he's had a number of clients overseas who have travelled to Australia to be trained up with an Alzheimer's dog. So what an Alzheimer's dog does is they can help the person, A, from being lonely, of course, which mm-hmm. is a pretty fundamental need we humans have. Mm. So it's companionship, but it's also keeping them safe so they don't get lost, because that's a common thing that people with Alzheimer's sometimes might be.
So they bring them home, do they?
They forget their way home. So the dog helps them with that.
And there were other dogs too, Celia and Casper.
Yes, we started the program for our son, but because our son was at school and he was at school with me because I was the principal, and so we said, look, can we base the training at school and the other kids get the advantage of it then as well? So that sort of started the ball rolling, and the benefits were just outstanding. The kids were so engaged, and of course Ureve was a very good trainer as well, very dynamic personality. So all in all, the program was very successful, and so much so that I wanted to keep it here. So I applied for some funding, and we got quite a large grant to run it for a couple of years. And so the outcomes of that led us to an award that we won for the partnership, and that helped us set up Benalla Dogs for Life. So we now have an ongoing business that we provide to the community with dog grooming, doggy daycare, dog training, dog hydrotherapy, you name it, we do it with dogs. Well, the students do.
So the students work at this Benalla Dogs for Life, do they?
That's right. So they do their work-related skills training, and their structured workplace learning, and we also run vocational education training certificates in business and animal studies. So it gives them a workplace come into where they've got the support of the people that they know, just to get those basic skills that are so necessary in the workplace. So by the time they're 17, 18, they've had a couple of years of experience of communicating with the public, following directions, signing in and out, all those really basic employability skills that are now being recognised as really fundamental in the changing workforce. The best thing about it is their confidence. They develop a lot of self-esteem and confidence after being in the businesses for 6 months. The change is amazing.
Do they all work in the doggy centre? The
no,
Vanilla Dogs for Life? Only
got,
some of them?
Yeah, most of them. We've got mm-hmm. two businesses. We've got a bicycle service and repair business alongside Dogs for Life. So if, you know, dogs aren't a student's particular thing, then they do workplace training in the bike shop as well. So they can go between the two, so they get a broader range of experience of different industries.
So it's transferable skills. They're learning, they're getting more confident.
Yes. Confidence is such amazing, the confidence that they have after a few months. It's really, really shows in the way they feel about themselves, but also the way their communication skills particularly.
Would you advise other people who have autistic children in their family to get a dog?
It depends on the individual. It really isn't one size fits all. Some young people with autism that are high functioning, they have their own pet dog and have a great companionship relationship with them just as a dog and a human. We have other students who, one of whom had a fear of dogs when he first came to the school, and we managed to work with him and one of our lab puppies, and over time our trainer Jordan worked with him and desensitised him, and he loved the dog so much they ended up buying the dog for themselves.
Oh.
So it just depends on the individual. Some non-verbal people with autism can really benefit by a service dog that is highly trained to actually go everywhere with them. So there's sort of different levels for different individuals, and they always, the people in this industry always assess the individual very closely to make sure they get the right fit.
So what is it about Labradors that are so special that seem to be working in communities, do you think?
The dogs that you reviewed were Black Labs. Now, part of the reason he liked that breed of dog was when he worked with epilepsy clients. The Labradors apparently can really sense very quickly the smells and the changes that happen in a person's body when they are about to have a seizure. So he really favoured them, but he also used smooth collies or another breed. So I think really any breed, that Labradors are, I suppose, eminently trainable, and they often have a good, calm personality as well.
So do you train the dogs as well, or do you get them already trained from somewhere
else?
Well,
we've trained our own, but they're not service dogs, they're therapy dogs. So a service dog is quite a different thing. That's usually where a trainer will work with a client over a couple of years, and they're very much trained in a specific way to meet specific needs. For instance, if someone had a severe physical disability, couldn't open a door or a drawer, the dog can be trained to do those sorts of tasks. Yeah, therapy dogs are really, they're not that specialised, but they're trained and socialised enough that they're not going to react in a negative way in certain noisy situations, or someone has unpredictable behaviour. They stay very calm. They've been socialised and trained to not react in that way.
So how many students do you think have benefited from your program over the last couple of years?
Oh, lots. Probably 40 since we started. And I've never had a negative with the dogs. Like, it's never, it can't be a bad thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're just lovely to have around. Like, we all know, we all love, most people love dogs and or animals, and it's just a good feeling.
And how's Daniel getting along now?
He's doing very well because of his love of animals generally. I mean, he loves cows and various animals. So we actually bought a farm very close to where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's now become his employment pathway. So he works on the farm and feeds the animals. He does this with support, and in terms of EdSpace, we offer students a traineeship in agriculture out there as well. So it means that he's got social interaction, he has people to work with, but he's also doing a valuable job.
That sounds terrific. Mm. And would you recommend other schools take up this kind of program?
Well, yes, I think more and more people are identifying how useful it can be. And I think, personally, in terms of having a dog within a school is very beneficial, but you've also got to understand that a dog has its own needs as well. One of the things we learned from Yareev was to give the dog a break. So it's not just hanging around all the time. It comes in and it has a job to do and then it needs to have a rest. So it needs somewhere quiet to go and have a drink and have a walk around and a rest. So it's about the kids learning that the dog isn't there just to sit around. It needs to be looked after. So we're very careful that we don't, that the kids understand that, that if they've got the responsibility of Casper, then they take him out for a drink, they take him out for a wee, and they do all those things that, that he needs to look after his needs as well.
Can you tell us where we might be able to find out more about Benalla Dogs for Life?
We have a Facebook page for Benalla Dogs for Life, and we try and keep fairly active on there. So we have photos of the different dogs we have come through, of some of the things that the students do with the dogs. We also have a website, which is a little bit dated. I need to get onto that, but that's www.dogsforlife.org.au.
Mm-hmm.
And Capability Building Incorporated, that's our overarching charity, and EdSpace is our major project.
Thank you so much, Maggie. It's been very interesting talking to you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Elaine. You are listening to Animates on the RPH Network. I'm Elaine Jontek. I mentioned earlier in the program about Professor Barker's talk about dogs helping people and its Dogs on Call program in Virginia in the US. She mentioned that studies show pets can be as close to people as many family members. Pets have a special place in our lives. And people that grow up with pets have a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, have less stress, usually get more physical exercise. Pets, especially dogs, are missed when people are hospitalised or move away from home. She said that patients who spend just 15 minutes with a therapy dog had direct health benefits. Anxiety levels are reduced. Post-operative patients of orthopaedic surgery with hip and knee replacements recovered more quickly and learned to walk more quickly. Moods were improved with patients and staff in the hospital. One stroke victim lay unconscious for days and claimed that the therapy dog nuzzling her hand brought her back to life. Listening to Professor Barker talk about the many benefits of having the dogs at the hospital with children and adults, it seemed to me that perhaps we should be looking more carefully at incorporating our best friends into our overall health care program. Clearly more research is needed into the long-lasting benefits of having animal-assisted therapy dogs in our hospitals. Been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network, Animates was created by Joe Van Kool. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks. Research by Joseph Schwanzer. And I'm Elaine Jontek. Please join us again next time for more studies of animals and their mates. Thank you.